Take your Bible, if you would, please. Turn with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. As we continue looking at various psalms, again, I don't know how long we're going to do this. It's not officially a study of psalms, but one psalm has led to another psalm and has led to another psalm. This particular psalm we looked at back in 2016. And so we have added some things to it, enhanced it a little bit, and I want us to look again. Most of you were not here in 2016. So we're going to look at Psalm 92, verses 1 through 15. This psalm is called a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. Now notice there is no inscription. Doesn't say Psalm of David, does it? So we really don't know who wrote the psalm. But we do know that it was a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. The Sabbath, of course, was set apart to rest. And the only rest we can find is rest in God himself. If we try to rest, talking spiritually, of course, in any other way but in God, we fall far short. There is no spiritual rest. According to the writers of Hebrews, there is no rest apart from the rest we have in Christ himself. And that means that we must be born again, we must know him personally, and be actively worshiping him. We have rest that no one else can find. So the Sabbath, of course, was a good time back in whoever wrote this Psalms day, to meditate on the goodness of God. We are in Thanksgiving week. And no matter how bad things are in our nation, and some things are not good, we still have so much to be thankful for. We cannot forget the goodness of God. On April the 9th, my dear wife went to be with the Lord, and I don't consider that a good thing. Good for her. Great for her. But it hasn't been good for me. But yet I rest in the Lord, knowing that his wisdom and his will is most important. We don't have to understand all that happens to us. Did you know that? We will not understand why some things happen, will we? We just won't, not in this life. Now, next life we will, but not now. Today we can meditate every day on the goodness of our God as we enjoy the fullness of our salvation. And we must remember to thank God for his many blessings that are ours because of his great creation. So we're going to look in this psalm at some of the reasons why we should give thanks and praise to God. Why should we? Number one, this is profound. Get ready. Good thing you're sitting. It's a good thing to do. What do you think of that? Is that deep? That is deep. It is deep because it's right out of the psalm. Can't get any deeper than the Word of God, can we? What's verse number one say? There you go. See that? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I actually came up with this brilliant outline, and you can tell. You can tell because it's so deep. Right out of verse number one, it's a good thing to give thanks. Well, verses 1 through 3, we've included all three of those verses together. There's not a whole lot we can do in contrast to what God has done and continues to do for us. Is there? Think about it. Look at all that God has done. Number one, he created us. And he created everything that we enjoy. No matter what it is, every single thing we enjoy can be traced back to his creation. Think about it. Everything. And so it's not hard for us to understand how much we have to be thankful for. And I can't do a whole lot in return for the life he has given me, the salvation he has given me, how he provides for me each and every day, how he sustains me physically, emotionally, spiritually. It all falls back on the sovereign God, creator God of the universe. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises. That is in response to thanksgiving. We should end up in songs of praise, should we not? Unto thy name, O Most High. And remember, O Most High is El Elyon. Remember our study of the names of God. One of them is El Elyon, God Almighty, the Most High God. We are careful oftentimes to thank people, though that is becoming less and less. Have you noticed? People aren't as thankful to other people as they used to be. But in not too many years past, if someone did something nice for us or gave us something or whatever, we were quick because mom and dad taught us that we should say thank you. Remember that? When Aunt Sally would give us an Oreo cookie and mom would say, "What do you say?" And I would say, "Could I have another?" But my mom meant to say thank you. Well, we are now in our nation at a point where folks think everything should be given to them, and we no longer are thankful for what we do have. Instead, we complain that we don't have enough. And so there are some, of course, some politicians that are trying to, because not their money, to make sure there are more handouts given out so that way people will vote for them. It's a terrible thing to do just to get a vote, isn't it? To bankrupt the nation. But it makes some people happy. We are commanded, of course, in the New Testament over and over again to be thankful people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18, in everything give thanks. Let me ask you a question. Does that mean I have to thank God for taking my wife? It's a hard one, isn't it? But what does the Bible say? In everything. Now, you might say, well, your wife died of COVID. How can you thank God for that? But I don't thank God for taking her, because I'd like to still have her. But I thank God for his wisdom. I thank God for the fact that he is sovereign. Remember that he created us. We belong to him. Do we not? He's the potter, we're the clay. So if God so chooses to take us home, does he have the right to do that? Is he being mean if he does that? Quite the opposite. I'll guarantee you, when Barb passed from this life into the next, that instant when she went from that hospital bed into the presence of the Almighty, she has not uttered one word of complaint. Has she? No. No. In everything give thanks. Well, why, Lord? Why should I give thanks in everything? Because it's the will of God. We often wonder, what's the will of God? How can I know the will of God for my life? Well, there are certain things that are the general will of God, and they are for every believer. This is one of those. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, I trust you, so therefore I will thank you for everything. What would appear to the human mind to be something I should not be thankful for, I will be thankful. And I remember when Carrie Ann died, very suddenly, within 17 hours, she went from a healthy, pretty good-sized child, almost 18 months old, and she suddenly got very ill. Come to find out, it was a rare form of meningitis. We didn't know it when it happened. Doctors said it was probably there were some viruses going around. Don't worry, we'd give her Tylenol, da-da-da-da-da. And we went to bed, woke up at 6 o'clock for school and work. It was a Friday, and she had gone to be with the Lord. Hardest day of my life, other than losing Barbara. The hardest day of my life. And Barbara and I embraced in the living room that afternoon, and we thanked God. I'm not telling you that because I think I'm some spiritual giant, but we knew even then, only saved for under two, it'd be 2 years the following month. We were only saved for 23 months. But God had taught us enough that we knew that if it was His will, we cannot fight it, and we must thank Him because He knows what's best. What if Carrie would have grown up and turned against God and never received Him as Savior and Lord? Where would Carrie go? Hell. I don't know if that's the, I don't know what the reason is. I will. I never asked God why. Never did. Never will. Never asked God why He took Barbara. Never will. Because I'm not going to know anyway. There's no point in fretting over it, asking why me? I just accept His will, and I'm go on. And one day He's going to tell me. One day I'll know. You won't even have to tell me. I'll know on the way up because He transforms us, and we will understand, okay? Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. There it is again. What does all mean? Yeah, all means all. And that's all means. Or as, excuse me, that teenager told me one of the good things I got out of Berkeley Baptist was all means all, and that's all there is to it. That's a second one. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5:18, for this is the will of God in Christ. Here in Ephesians 5:20, for giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are resting in Christ. We are secure in Him, and we know that all things work together for them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And so, again, being thankful. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And be thankful as you do it, understanding that we can only do what we do because of Him. All right, that's the introduction. You ready to move on? All right, verses 1 through 3. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. To sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Remember, you could say at the end of the day is not mean the end of gratitude. The end of the day doesn't mean the end of gratitude, does it? We are thankful from morning to night, and then we get up the next day, we're still thankful for all that God has given us, all He does for us, and all He means to us. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound, speaking of meditation and worship. So this particular psalm would have been sung, and the musicians would have played a beautiful melody as they went into the temple for worship, or maybe when they got in the temple and were worshiping. So music was an important part. And I want you to recognize something about music here. It is for praise and worship. That's why we have music. Did you know that the Bible doesn't teach us anything about having music to appeal to the flesh or to make the flesh feel good? Music is to be a tool for worship and praise. I'll let you do with it as you please. But that's the biblical reason for music. Well, it's good to give thanks. It's good to worship God. It's good to praise God. Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So we praise God by giving thanks vocally. And by the way, the devil doesn't like that. when we give praise to God and we live a life of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of praise. When we give thanks and praise God, we show him that we recognize his loving kindness. We show him that we recognize that he is a faithful God. And verse 3 speaks of the fullest range of music expressing the richest feelings of the heart. So again, music, praise, for worship, and for thanksgiving. Secondly, not only is it a good thing to do, number one, but number two, we recognize God's great works. Verses 4 and 5, for thou, Lord, hast made me. And you made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. In Psalm 90, verses 15 and 16, it's a portion of a prayer. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So verses 4 and 5 are the answer to the prayer of Moses in verses 15 through 17. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. You see? Verse 15 of Psalm 90, make us glad. Psalm 92, verse number 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Through thy work, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts very deep. When we are glad in the Lord, we will be thankful for, and we will want to praise him. Because we look around and see all of his great works. How can we look around and see God's creation and not marvel at his goodness? How can we not look around at how God provides for us each and every day and not be thankful and grateful for his goodness? So the second reason to give thanks and praise to the Lord is we recognize God's great works. Number three, the third reason, by thanksgiving and praise, we show forth the great contrast between the lost and the saved. By thanksgiving and praise, we show forth the great contrast between the lost and the saved. Verses 6 through 8. Verse 6, a brutish man. Every time I read that, no matter where it is in the Old Testament, brutish, I think of Brutus. Remember him? I got to stop. Remember Popeye? Yeah. Brutus, the guy that liked the burgers? And he would say, I'd gladly give you, what was it, money or give you something. That's Wimpy. That's right. Who's Brutus was the big guy with the mean guy with the beard, wasn't it? That's right. That's right. I always get them confused. I think I mentioned that recently and you corrected me on that. But anyway, Brutus, he was a mean, nasty guy. So it's kind of interesting that here we find a brutish man. There are a lot of definitions of brutish. Number one is stupid. You ever meet anybody stupid? I think it's an epidemic of stupid going on. Really, I do. Especially in Washington, D.C. Or cruel. It can be translated cruel. It can be translated coarse, it can be translated sensual, it can be translated without feeling, beastly, lacking values, lacking discernment, senseless, rude, or uncultivated. Uncultivated. So you can choose whichever one or ones you want. Well, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish. Flourish there is the Hebrew word which can be translated awful. I'm sorry. It can be translated to be conspicuous or to shrink. And I bring that out because in a few verses from now, we see the word flourish, but it's a different Hebrew word that is translated quite differently. So the wicked spring as the grass. The brutish man sees nothing of God in nature. He has an unbelieving heart. He does not give God glory for anything because he doesn't believe in God, or he doesn't believe that God has created all things. Even though the unbelieving heart often professes to know, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They profess to know. They think they know more than God. And of course, now in Washington, they're trying to pass this couple trillion dollar, whatever it is, one point something, one and a half or more trillion dollar addition to the budget. That is really a Green New Deal plus many, 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 many other things. Which, of course, some are so bold as to think that they can fix God's planet. Who created the earth? Who is the one that sustains the earth? Who's the one that has measured the borders as far as how far the waters go? And is the earth to be a permanent planet? God's going to change. Listen. As John MacArthur once said in a message, and this was so deep I wrote it down so I would remember it, and I memorized it. Go ahead and walk on the grass. This is a disposable planet. That's what he said. I memorized it. Deep, isn't it? Deep. What does that mean? Does that mean that we should pollute our waters? Does it? Does it mean that we should recklessly saw down timber? Does it mean that we should make sure our car burns extra oil so we can pollute the environment? Of course not. We are tenders of the garden, are we not? We are managers of God's creation. But it has not ceased to be God's. So I am not bold enough to think that I or any other human beings can destroy God's planet. We can't do it. Did you know that? No. No, we can't do it. So dumping trillions of dollars into trying to save the planet is ridiculous. So the brutish man sees nothing of God. Rather than praying and saying, Lord, give us wisdom on how to tend to your garden here, how to tend to this planet, we instead, as unbelievers, say, we know better than God, and so we will worship and serve the creature more than the creator, as is outlined in Romans chapter 1. Well, verse 6 reminds us that the ungodly will be destroyed forever, but God is most high forevermore. Look at verse 7. When the wicked spring is the grass, and the grass comes very quickly and it goes pretty quickly, doesn't it? And when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. So the awful reward of thanklessness is destruction. And really, a brutish man knoweth not speaks of the fact that they are worse than a beast, because a brutish man rejects by choice. And obviously it's a wrong choice. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. God is the highest because he is eternal. Which leads us to number 4. We will be more prone to claim victory in various situations. This is the 4th reason to give thanks and praise to God. We will be more prone to claim victory in various situations. Verses 9 through 11. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. David understood that his enemies were also God's enemies. His enemies were also God's enemies. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. The word perish there is a little bit different, because the enemies will perish. But in verse 10, my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, mine ears. There it is. It's in verse 12. Flourish there and flourish in verse 13 speaks of a fixed and rooted, like a palm tree or a cedar of Lebanon. God deals with his own. The brutish grow up very quickly, like a vegetable, like grass, but they perish. But those that are saved, those that really know the Lord, we can claim victory in various situations, because God said he will take care of our enemies. All the workers of iniquity are going to be scattered. He said, my horn. Horn speaks of power. God gives us power to overcome our foes, doesn't he? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, I don't know who the psalmist is here. It wasn't David. David, of course, could be anointed. He was a king. It kind of gives the impression that God will anoint all of us. As John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, we often pray for some special anointing. Did you know that every born-again believer has been anointed by the Holy Spirit? Did you know that? It's in 1 John. You can read it. 1 John 2, 20 and 27. Read those verses. God has anointed us. Mine eye also shall see my desire. And my is in italics. Some translators say it'd be better without the my in there. It's in there a couple of times. Mine eye shall also see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire. It's really God's desire, and God will judge with a righteous judgment. It leads us to number five, fifth reason why we should thank and praise and worship our God. God will continue to bless us as we give him the glory for his past blessings. God will continue to bless us as we give him the glory for his past blessings. Verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree, of course, was used for fruit. What's in a palm tree? Yeah. Some sort of coconut. How many of you like coconut? Supposed to be good for you, I guess, right? Coconut. It's nothing like a Mounds bar. Oh. I like Almond Joy better because it has an almond, but it's not dark chocolate. Why do they do that? Why don't they make them both dark chocolate or give you a choice? But they don't. That's free information. That's not part of the Word of God, okay? It's like an added bonus. It's like a Thanksgiving special bonus. But also, not only the palm tree, but also, remember, the cedar in Lebanon was used for building. Much of the temple was made out of the cedars out of Lebanon. He shall grow like a cedar. When I think of a cedar, I think of a very tall, very strong, very valuable tree. And, of course, God is the one that has created both the palm tree and the cedar tree. But the wicked spring up as grass. Remember verse number 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and what's going to happen to them? They're going to be destroyed forever. But God cares for his own. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Means literally to be vigorous, to flourish richly in the courts of our God. Or you could say that we that are saved, if we are thankful, will be fixed and rooted in worship. Fixed and rooted in worship, because if we are truly thankful, we are thankful to God, and the natural, or I guess you could say supernatural result of that is a heart of worship, a heart of praise, a heart of thanksgiving. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. By abiding in Christ, of course, we grow weaker and weaker as we get older, don't we? Things begin to fail. Eyes go bad. Some have hair that turns loose. Some have hair that turns gray or white. Our bones get more brittle. Our muscles begin to shrink. Our mind gets a little dull. Or in my case, a lot dull. But God has promised those that abide in Christ will remain strong in the Lord, still bringing forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat, not fat, but talking about being blessed. Like the Bible says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. That means the abundance. And flourishing. Back in Psalm 91, verse 15 and 16, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So a general promise is those that are walking with God, those that are thankful, those that are worshiping him as they flourish in old age, obviously. And God has promised then to extend those years. It doesn't mean that everybody. My wife, I didn't consider 72. She's almost a month shy of 73. That's not old. But God has promised us, in general terms, 70. What's 70? 70. So anything beyond the age of 70, that's a gift. So we can't complain. 70. I guess at one time that was considered kind of old, but it sure isn't now, is it? Nah, it's just the beginning. To show that the Lord is... Well, I'm sorry, I'm reading wrong. Let me go. Yes, it is right. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And so he's ever faithful, ever true. And we find here a cheerful testimony of a thankful heart. Nature decays, but grace should thrive. Nature decays, but grace should thrive. They shall be fat and flourishing, though our bodies are breaking down. The wicked again spring up as grass. The righteous is a palm tree, slow growth, but a palm tree endures, doesn't it? A tree in Lebanon lives a long time, a cedar tree, doesn't it? And so God has promised that he will continue to provide for us as we are thankful to him for his provision. So in this Thanksgiving season, Thursday's Thanksgiving, as you're delving into that turkey and the stuffing and the mashy taters, I don't eat many mashed potatoes because they go in my stomach and explode and fill me up, which means I won't have room for more pie and more sweet potato casserole and the things that are really, really good. So a little dab of mashed potatoes about the size of, you know, that would fit right in here so I can pile up all the other stuff. And then at the end, of course, have like a quarter of a pie. Because if you're going to eat it, you want to make it worthwhile, right? Some are looking at me like, you pig. Well, you never know how long you have on the earth. So I can eat like a little bunny and make sure that I don't, you know, I measure every ounce of fat that enters my body. And, you know, don't eat bacon or bratwurst because, you know, they're killers. And then I can die because I've worried so much about my diet that I stress out and die of a heart attack anyway. Or I can enjoy life in moderation, not go crazy, not be stupid, but eat a little bacon and eat a brat here and there, and you know, and enjoy life. Because life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And we know it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, we don't know when that appointment is. And so I'm not going to live in fear of it. Are you? If you're a born-again child of God and your time comes, where are you going to be? You'll be with the Lord. Is that bad? So should we worry? Should we put our anchors so deep in this earth and act as though we're never going to leave? Or should we be thankful people, enjoy what God has given us, be generous with others, and do all we can do to help those that maybe don't have, and then just live life. Live life and be thankful. Let's stand together for a word of prayer and ask God to continue to teach us how we can be more thankful. One thing for certain is, as my wife often told me, to stop complaining, stop my whining. That's one way we can show we're thankful, right? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Psalm 92. Thank you, Lord, for those that were a part of our study today. Lord, help us to be a thankful people. The world isn't thankful. Our nation is filled with people that are constantly expecting more, not ever thankful for what we have, rather than being a people that look to you and say, Lord, you've given me far more than what I could ever deserve. We complain that we don't have more. God help us. God forgive us. And God save America. Before time runs out, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.